this morning. And good to be back. But I did enjoy it on the trail. You know, Brother Andrew Gregson said, if anybody thinks this is a holiday, I want to come friend. It was no holiday, I can tell you. But I believe the Lord really worked, the Lord really moved, and I appreciate all your prayers. And bring your greetings from Adelaide, from Tucson, Arizona, from New Jersey, from Philadelphia, and many of the brothers and sisters sending greetings, especially the Brother John here. There's people new to Brother John here. There's one fella, and he says to me, I'm interpreting your message, he says. Your messages in some other language. I'm not sure where it was. He interprets Brother Brian Freeborn's messages. He goes on the site and interprets them. And he said to me, Peter's Lost Fishing Trip's one of them. And then he named another one. But it was Brother John's messages he preached over Adelaide. And it's actually been interpreted in another country in another language, them messages he preached. And Adelaide. So, you know, sometimes you wonder, when God might speak to you in a prophecy or different things, how it would ever come about. But God can do it.
Amen.
And sometimes not the way we think, but He can do it. And I thought that was someone, and I said, Brother, are you sure it's not John Kingston? And he says, that's probably it. I said, well, he's a lot taller than me. And he said, that's your brother. And I said, well, he is, but he's an uncle as well. But everywhere I go, people think John's my brother. That's all right. I think, Brother, praise God. But they send greetings, that brother sends a greetings, and the messages that they're interpreting into the foreign languages. And we just thank God. You just maybe say, praise God, the Lord bless each one. And I'm not going to really preach enough this morning. I just want to tell you of what the Lord's done. And so many different things, so many things happen, some funny things, real funny things, and the Lord really moved, you know, in so many different ways, and it was really a blessing to travel with Brother Andrew Gregson. I've traveled with different brothers over the years, but the thing is, when I've traveled with Brother Andrew, if I preach and Andrew preaches, there's no conflict of doctrine. You could go somebody somewhere with somebody and they don't believe what you believe. And you preach and they preach the opposite, and that doesn't work. But Brother Andrew and myself were singing at the same hymn sheet, as the man says. And that makes a big difference. And you know Brother Andrew's a tremendous preacher. He's a wonderful testimony how the Lord's delivered him. And you know the thing I found interesting on this trip was, if Andrew preached, people could see it. If I preached, people could see it. It didn't matter who preached. God just seemed to work no matter which one of us preached. And there's no conflict. Everything worked well. And many, many doors opened for us. We couldn't go to everywhere what they wanted us to go. And there's so many invitations when it really came in what they wanted us to go and preach. But it's just in God's will and God's timing, and you know, you can have invitations, you can't just run off and go. It has to be God's will. So we just pray and see what the Lord will do. Praise God. I want to read a scripture, and you can remain seated. It's Isaiah chapter 1. Everyone knows that scripture, and I want to thank everyone here for your prayers, and I believe in the power of prayer. I remember there's a few people missing this morning, but the Lord bless each and every one that's here, and you know what. Let's read from verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know my people do not consider.
All sinful nation, the people live with iniquity, the seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward, why should ye be stricken anymore? We will revolt more and more, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land streams are devoured in your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left them unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings, of rams, of the fat of beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of the he goats. When ye come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand, ye tread my courts. Bring no more vain obligations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meaning. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They were trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. This is a scripture that the Lord gave me supernaturally. In 2089, when the supernatural visitation of God gave me this scripture, and the Lord had reminded me in this trip again, on the two different occasions when I was visited by Almighty God, supernaturally, some things God brought me over and all again. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Praise God. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you this morning in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the name of Jesus, that it is higher than any other name. Lord, we know what your name is, an ointment poured forth. The flowers grow and the desert blooms again just at the mention of your name. Heavenly Father, I want to say this morning, Lord, I love you with all my heart, because you first loved me. Father, I pray that you'll come in this room. I rebuke every other spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit. I ask for the moving of your Spirit upon your people. I pray you refresh and strengthen your own people this morning. Hear those who would hear this word in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you come not for the whole, but for the sick. For you are the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus. Lord, you come to set the oppressed free. Lord, the prophet said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to set at liberty those that are bound and bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the recovering of sight to the blind. Lord, we know you came to destroy the works of the devil. We know the devil's a liar and the father lies, but you are the truth and the Spirit of truth. Lord, let your word shine on us this morning, for thy word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. Come amongst us today, Lord. Bless and strengthen your people. Encourage them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Help me to remember the things what would glorify you and help your people. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to anoint me and to come in this room. Lord, I pray that you'll reach forward from your throne and look down upon us in mercy this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. Praise God. Ain't God good? I tell you, the Lord is good. Well, you know that the flight to Australia is long. It's a long set. And I'm not the smallest, I suppose. And of course, I was the middle seat the whole road. Squashed like a squashed sardine. And when you're sitting 20 hours in one place, it's not comfortable. And we had so many flights and everything. But we just thank God for the availability to go. It's quite expensive to go. I'm not sure exactly how much, in the thousands. I could never pay it. I would never have the money for it. But the Lord did it. Praise God. I want to really thank the Assembly in Adelaide. Because they paid the flights. They paid for them. And you know, the strange thing was, when the Lord first called me, and I received several different prophecies and I would travel around the world. And I said to the Lord, how would I ever go? I would never have the means to go. But this flight was right around the globe. When you get the globe, and you leave here and go to Australia, and then you go into America, it's a circle right around the whole earth. It's a complete circle right around. So it's around the world trip. And it's great, but it takes a bit of toll on you. Because the different, in one place, 9 hours of difference, and you're almost going forward in time. In another place, you go back in time. It confuses your whole body. It's very hard to sleep. And then when you get sleep in one place, you move to the next place. So it's hard on the physical body. You know, but we just thank God for his mercy. Praise God. Now I tried my best to write down. Sharon gave me this wee notepad before I went. She says, after each day of reading, write down. So this is what I've done. So I'm going to tell you what I wrote down, roughly, in each place. And I know when I come back, it said five people got saved. Some people think he's exaggerating. If I tell you that somebody made a decision, they made it. Now, how far they're going to go, I don't know. But what God's done for them, I can't tell. All I can tell you is what I've seen and what took place, and the responses will help them. And it seems to be everywhere in every church there's an apathy. Everywhere, over the whole world, not just here. And less people are coming to church, not more. And it doesn't seem to matter who's preaching or what they're saying, it's making no difference. And I sincerely believe it's the signs of times. The Word of God says the love of many will wax cold in the last days. I also believe what I saw is going to massive churches, it's went two roads. Definitely went two roads. There's people which went more than themselves, and they're coming back to the old fashioned preaching, and they want that. And there's other people that are going extreme the other way. And it seems to be going that way. Now we know what God done and what God said is absolutely the truth. When you get up in the Sabini Canyon and you see for God placed the sword in the hand of the prophet, it strikes home the reality of how God did visit this generation and they rejected it and they didn't even want it. And you cannot change the Bible. And there's seven messengers in this word in Revelations, and you can't pull them out and throw them away. They're there. And they're there for a reason. And they're there for a purpose. And God sent them. And it can't be changed. Some people don't want to know nothing about it. And some people have gone back to dead formal denominations. Now I'm telling you, God reminded me of this when I was away. How the voice of God supernaturally spoke to me, and I had a visitation in the room I was in. And God told me, thou shalt depart from this work to another I show thee. And God broke me away from the denominations, from women preaching, and three types of baptisms, from the Trinity doctrine, and there's no way I'm going back into it. There's men sitting in this room, but was visited by God. And God showed them with dreams, But they're taking in a lovely garden that's full of coffins of dead men. Now there's no way God can do that and then change his mind after 20 years and take you back into a denomination. God will not do that. That's not God. So God has called us out. Now there's so many things I can't tell you all. There's so many things people have met. God seemed to put the jigsaw together, which has lasted 30 years. There's a man called Clayton Sanmore I was meant to meet in 91. But the people I traveled with would not let me meet that man. I wanted to meet him. He was one of the main men and the full gospel businessman. And when they refused to have Brother Branham, he resigned that day, and God really spoke to him. And Brother Branham and him talked in private, and God showed them things, what would happen at the end time. And God showed them what happened to full gospel businessmen was. They started out as farmers and just ordinary men, but they got a bit of ahead of themselves. They thought they were something. And they thought they could do it, and they started to give themselves big names and positions, and the Holy Spirit just moved away. But something happened, and I got to hear this man. He actually preached at Prairie Grange Church, Clayton Sanmore. Also, the message is the voice of God sends out. They have took off them a lot of things for God done. They don't seem to want nobody to know about it. I don't agree with that either. Praise God. But I want to tell you about this trip. First service in Brother Brian Freeborn's church was traveled out. You know, we traveled out on the Monday, we arrived on Tuesday. And I think the best thing is when you go somewhere on a different time scale, even if you're tired, you're better to wait and go to bed at the same normal times. But if you don't, then you're up all night and stuff. So we arrived in the evening. Actually, in Adelaide, it was evening time. The temperature in our terms was about 27. That would be like a good summer here, wouldn't it? But that's there. They're no longer in summer. They're coming into the, what's the name of the boiler summer? Winter time. They're coming into the winter time, so it's cold for them. 27 is getting colder over there. I tell you, it's unreal, but Australia has had very little rain this year. But 27 was great for me. I was happy with 27. I wasn't too warm for me at all, because I like the heat. And I'm not burned or suntan, because I kept coming up. I was afraid to get burned. And because we don't realize that we are white over here in Ireland. Skin's white because we get no sun. Right. And then you jump from that into the hot sun, you get burned easy, so you have to watch that you don't get yourself burned. But we arrived on the Tuesday evening, and the services were to start on Friday. And the first service went well, and it was Friday morning right through to Monday night. So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So it was 8 meetings. And out of there, there was a good turnout considering from some of the other times. Brian wasn't sure why to run it or not, but there was a good turnout for the services. And I preached the morning services, and Brother Andrew preached the evening services. And the first service went well. I preached in the morning, and I preached in God's only provided way. When you know God's, how many knows God's only provided way? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One way.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the thing I've been trying to emphasize when preaching, mm-hmm. and I believe God's been emphasizing to me. And there's one way. God can give you lots of revelations, and they can be absolutely the truth, but that never changes. It's still one way. And I really believe the Lord anointed the meeting, and the Lord really blessed, and three people responded and prayed the sinner's prayer in that service. And you know, if you have a convention, you have people coming and going, you know, during them 4 days, some people go, some people come, so you could have different people coming in the meetings over a 4-day convention. And the Lord really moved. People responded, they prayed the sinner's prayer. And then Brother Andrew preached that evening. Can you guess what he preached on? Earthquake deliverance. What was that for a title? That title was a great message from the book of Acts. Earthquake deliverance. And the The Lord really blessed Brother Andre. It was a tremendous service. And it was great, great for me as well to hear Brother Andre preaching. And the Lord really helped him. And there must have been at least 80 people, at least many more, because Brian's church is quite big. And when a church is big, you can think there's less in it when it comes to more. But at least 80 people, I'd say, was there. Then Saturday morning, I preached in the provinces of faith. You know the message I preached here? The devil will bind you, or else you'll bind him. Talk to yourself what you do. You can let him walk over you if you want, but God says he's given you power in his name to bind anything. And I believe it, praise God. And I didn't call nobody forward or anything like that in that service, but I just prayed for people for deliverance where they're sitting. And the Lord really blessed that meeting. And Brother Andrew preached that night. And he preached on, can anybody guess? Storms in our lives. Did he preach out here? Storms in our lives. Preach storms in our lives. How we can have storms in our lives. But God delivers us. The Lord really blessed us. And you know, it's tremendous, really. The brother, there was no service. But Andre didn't have a good message. No service. Every service was a tear. You know, I believe we both went really prepared for it. And meetings, one sister came forward in the service, and God really done something for her. There's one particular woman, I wrote it down here, that's why I wrote it down. And God really touched her in that Saturday service. And Sunday, I gave my testimony, and I want to say this. You remember when I got back from Manchester several years, a couple of years ago probably, the Brother Andrew, and I was thinking, and you know, maybe I shouldn't keep giving my testimony. How many of you ever felt like you shouldn't give your testimony? Nobody's interested. Nobody. So everybody feels you want to give your testimony. Well, that's good, but I just sort of felt, you know, when you're preaching all the time, you think maybe it's just your testimony. But the Brother John prophesied on Wednesday night in one of our meetings here. How many remembers that? And the Holy Spirit said that the Lord wants you to give your testimony. And when you give your testimony, people's going to be delivered and set free. And when a Brother John, the Spirit of God came to that meeting, how many of you remember that service? I can remember it. And God really spoke to me that night. That was for me. And I'm telling you now, should I never go out of these doors? Everywhere I get my testimony, God done something. Far above when I would preach, or even under a preach. When I gave my testimony, the power of God came in a tremendous way, and people got delivered.
Amen.
People just came to the altar. People started weeping. There were services where people wept loud right over the meetings just when I gave my testimony. Just exactly what the Word of God, what a brother prophesied. And it really was something I'm telling you what God done. And God touched people. And I didn't exaggerate, I just told it the way it happened. And how God delivered me. And it seemed to help a lot of people. And Brother Brian was wanting me to give my testimony. He didn't tell me, and I said, Brian, maybe I should give my testimony. And he says, I was praying you would, brother. And it just was up the Lord how it worked, and I didn't really want to give it. But then he really seemed keen for me to give it. And then there was people maybe there this year that might have been there the year before. And it really helped a lot of people. I gave my testimony and the response. A lot of backsliders came back to the Lord in that service. People that were backslidden came back to the Lord. There's quite a lot of them. And they responded and came back to God. And God touched people in that meeting. And Andrew preached a great service on the Gethsemane's of our lives. How many have ever heard that? Nobody knows about the Gethsemane of Jesus. You know Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane. But what about the disciples' Gethsemane? Now here's the thing about that message brought out. It was tremendous. And I'm hoping it'll come over soon. Maybe the Lord will lead him to preach out here. Here's the thing about it when he brought out. And this blessed me. The disciples failed. But they were meant to. They were meant to fail. They failed their Gethsemane. And every single man will fail their Gethsemane.
Amen.
but with one mind.
Right.
And he never failed his assignment. Right. Isn't that wonderful? Right. And the way our brother brought it was tremendous. All to glorify Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's the only one.
Right.
Overcome his assignment.
Yes.
Sweat it. Pray it through.
Yes.
Sweat it. Great drops of blood, it says, for our deliverance.
Amen.
And he overcame his Gethsemane. The disciples all failed. But the Lord didn't throw them away. Look at Peter and the day of Pentecost. These scriptures must be very fulfilled. God used them. And even though we feel like Gethsemane, with someone that never failed them.
Amen.
And that's why it's his righteousness that we're living by, not our own. Our own would fail. It wouldn't catch us that door. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not, I know it was so much, it wasn't it? And you go abroad on our Brian's website, you'll be able to hear it. And the Lord really helped Andrew preach that message, I'm telling you. And I'll tell you, he must have preached near 2 hours. One of the meetings, but you wouldn't have thought it. You would never have thought it. Brian told him when Andrew had spoken, he couldn't believe it. Because Andrew doesn't preach that long, will he? Maybe an hour at most. But the Spirit of God was moving. Now, a meeting's all right if God's moving.
Mm-hmm.
But a long meeting's no good if God's not in it.
Amen.
All of them get these sores, you know, sitting too long. But if God's in it, it's good. It's not right.
Yes.
The apostle preached all night and raised the dead when he finished. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Then the servant is Christ on Sunday. And we preached on Monday. I don't know, I haven't wrote in Monday. I should have wrote in Monday, but I haven't wrote in Monday. But we did have meetings again on Monday. Because the service continued on Monday. And that's right, on Monday I preached on the word that makes for faith. That's right, on Monday. I thought I'd written that down, but I wasn't wrote it down. Monday was a good service as well. And when you get to Monday, some of people's going already home. Sunday was probably the biggest service in Adelaide. But it was quite a good turnout on Monday, considering as well. And we met brothers from, I tried to send Matthew photographs on the phone, but it didn't go through. I was going to show you this morning, but it didn't go through. And I'm not that mechanically good on these different machines. But there's a big fellow with her at the Adelaide meetings, and Tiny was a big, big man. And you know them clothes to wear, they're like a skirt. What do you call it? Samoans or something. But they're building the church, and Brian's church has helped them out a bit. And they've got a church of about 80 people, and their pastor came up for the meetings. And Brian's been over there preaching as well. And they're another language as well that they have. And they're great people, and God's really working with them. So God's moving. This place is for God is moving.
Amen.
Praise God. We then leave on Philadelphia at 2 o'clock. We had to get up in the morning at 2 o'clock to get to the airport for 4 o'clock. So the meeting's finished and we were gone basically. The next day we had to go. And so we head for Tucson on. It was, and I can't remember the many hours it was. You remember, John? 12 hours, isn't
it? 11
or 12 hours flying again. When I come into Tucson, the plane, unbelievable. If you brothers would like the mountain climbing, you need to go to Tucson, Sabine Canyon. You will get mountain climbing. I'm not joking you. It's unbelievable. The mountains, there's nothing here like it. It's unbelievable, the mountains. But they're dangerous. They are dangerous. I'm telling you, they're lethal. I'll tell you a story in a minute or two about them mountains and what happened one day we were out. I'm going to tell you some things that happened in Tucson. It was amazing, really. We met a fella called Brother Arnie Peterson. I don't know if you, John, you know Brother John. Brother Arnie Peterson, and he really spoiled us, me and Andrew. He was so good to us, his wife and family. Good first, and we stayed in a wee house that he had near his house. And Paul Cain stayed in that house, near beside Arnie Pearson. And I've got Paul Cain's testimony as well. And maybe your sister could put it in the magazine, the whole testimony. You need to hear it. Listen to it, tell you something. William Brown said that the testimony and the visitation of Paul Cain's wife, Mum Han, was the most supernatural visitation of the 20th century. But the voice of God has that deleted out. You will not find it nowhere. Because you see, they want to make out that God didn't do anything else outside of what they had. That's really the point of what I'm making you. Man, that is. But if you hear that testimony, and you know Paul Cain at some ministry, and he was mightily used of God. And I used to have a tape of Paul Cain when I was a wee fella, and I never ever thought. But me and Andrew was talking about Paul Cain, and Brian was talking about Paul Cain, I told Brian about Paul Cain. We get to Tucson, and Arnie says, Paul Cain stayed in this house. And also we had the life story of Paul Cain. Paul Cain and this brother Craig Sonmore, they both tell how they rejected, how the churches rejected William Branham and they put him out. Didn't want him. They didn't want God. And he said the Spirit of God just lifted away. And it just was dead. Absolutely dead. You want to hear how it happened, I'm telling you. And people, preachers, that were seeing signs and wonders in America, all stopped. It's like switching the lights out. That's something, isn't it? Because of what they've done. And they organized. But all them things, like, you might mean anything to you, but it meant something for me. But we traveled into to Tucson, and we arrived into Tucson. We had a fly into Los Angeles first. And when we hit Los Angeles, it's just like a fog over it, never lifted. And I thought to myself, this place is in a daze. And there was like a fog and a grayness over the whole of Los Angeles, and it never lifted. Now, people talk about the airports here and the airports in England, never ever condemn them again. In America, it is brutal. Absolutely lethal. 3 hours we stood in the line for before we could through in Los Angeles. They had 2 tenants working to take thousands of people. That's why they were operating. I'm telling you, it was a joke. Andrew was disgusted. It would put you off going anywhere to Bond Street. Really put you off. 3 hours, that's not good enough. And the security was unreal. And almost stripped you. Everywhere you went through our place, through our belt sat shoes off, everything you could take off, get it off. Through this picture, through some other thing. And that's the way it was absolutely brutal. And we went through all these different things. And then we eventually got to Tucson. I don't know where I put this down. Mix up, I think, Mr. Page or something. Oh, here's the other. We traveled to Tucson, Arizona. Me and Andre were arrived on the Wednesday. We come into Tucson, Arizona, we arrived on the Wednesday. And we stayed, we went to the wee place at the side of the church, but we didn't stay there. Because we were going to stay beside Arnie Peterson's house, in the wee house of our own, where Tony Paul Cain said, by the time we got there, the change was time for church. So they said, what are you going to do? So me and Andre just spoke a wee bit each, 30 minutes each on the first night. We were really exhausted. We had traveled for 12 hours, then wait for 9 hours to get the next flight to get there, and then another 2-hour flight. So the first flight was 12 hours into Los Angeles, wait for 9 hours, then the next flight was 2 hours, and then stayed to preach. So you're 12 hours flying, 9 hours wait, 2 more hours flying, and then on the pulpit. And Perry Green's church, massive church, But you can tell it as soon as you go in, there's been chaos. There's hardly any people there compared to what should be. That brother that goes there, when you were there, Brother John, Caleb, is it Caleb? He's his own church now, he left. If you listen to tapes when Brother Branham's preaching, he tells Harry Green to have a church in Arizona. Brother Branham left Jeffersonville and he came to Arizona to live. That's where God gave him the sword in his hand, all the things that happened in the Upsavini Canyon. Eagle Rock and all the different things happened. And he told Harry Green to have a church. You know how many groups there is now in Arizona from one group? 14. 14 groups. Do you know how many of them comes together for convention? None. Not two groups. Not two groups meet. Great fellowship, isn't it? Gather together in one accord. You see how the devil done it? That's how he works. It's a saying that a brother John said, and I said as well. I said it there. Quitters and splitters. Quitters and splitters. It's not God's idea to split churches, that's the devil. And when somebody has a bright idea and feels to do something, brothers can go out from an assembly and preach and do things without splitting the church. But you have to have a base, and the devil knows that. And he didn't want that. So he split you up. That's how it works. So split side the devil. No question about it. And split here and split there, and this brother split here, and someone split there, and all the different nonsense. Split here, there, and everywhere. It's a disgrace, really. But we preached anyway, we preached, we had a good service on the Wednesday night, Perry Green's church. Real good meeting, it went well, though there wasn't many there. And Brother Arnie then took us the next day, which was Thursday, up Sabina Canyon. And he told us, he took us up Sabina Canyon, and John had said to me, get yourself a pair of boots for walking, you remember that? Did you go up Sabina Canyon at Flagstaff?
No, Sabina.
Sabina Canyon. And Andrew had these pair of shoes on, and I had these pair of like, sort of trainers, I thought they were a good job, but they weren't. I sort of did what John said, and got the boots. First of all, started out with a swim in the river, wear clothes on. We want to know why you keep your clothes on, we found out. The heat in Australia was nothing compared to Tucson, Dublin. I mean, it was hot. It would take the head of you. So, honestly, you can't take your clothes off at all, or you're roasted. So I had one of them big hankies, like one of them boys out in the desert, and I'm gone. Keep burning. But we were down in the river, and Arnie says, wipe your coats, we'll take the coats from the roadside. So we didn't know what he was doing, but he knew what he was doing. So we come out of the river, and we're all clothes on after a swim. And he said that bag's waterproof. The water went through, but when we got so far up the mountain, it wasn't waterproof. Everything was soaked. He ruined his phone. The wallets were soaked through everything. But after an hour's walking, brother, the clothes were dry. After an hour's walking. On the trail, we hear them screaming, help, help, get the ambulance. And this woman came running down and she said, there's a woman up here. She's taking a heart attack. She's in an awful bad way. So we're climbing up this. You know how it goes up, John. Right away up this mountain. And here's a woman and she's in hysterics. Her brother's trying to hold her. She's ready to jump out the side of the mountain. Sunstroke. Couldn't control her. She's cursing and swearing and all sorts. And Arnie says, what God is it that you're praying to? She was swearing, she was in a bad way. And eventually he tried to calm her down. We got one of them coats and we went, put it on her. Brother Andrew prayed for her. The ambulance came, but it took a long time to get away up there. And they came and they come up and they got her. We went on our walk right up near where you can see Eagle Rock. And when you look at Eagle Rock, there used to be engraved white stone on it, clear, which said Eagle, but people poked it out over the years. When you look at it, and Arnie shows it down from it, there's another rock, and there's a sword on it. Picture of a sword, and it points right to the Eagle. So we thought, right, we've done Eagle Rock. We'll go back down now. No, get a different idea. Now I'm trying to wait on some talk of you, John. The farthest. Ernie says we'll go now to this other rock for something happened. So we'll walk right back around all this and we'll head to some another part and we've got to go to the top of it. And then we'll have a rush to try and get there. The bus will start at 1 o'clock, the last bus at 5 o'clock, 5 hours. On the mountain walk, and you'd love it, Anderson. You would have loved it. You would have loved it. It was alright for me too, with the wrong shoes on. But I enjoyed it. But we got down, cactuses in there everywhere. Still trying to get some of them. And the lakes and the hogs everywhere, and really windy, and then he kept getting out. Got down, caught the bus, and Anderson says to me, look at my shoes. There was no soles on it. The soles had been cleaned off the shoes. Right off the shoes, the socks were on the shoes. I had a pair of fancy trainers on, and it's like walking on stones. But you know the good thing about it? Ernie took us to the shop the next day, and he bought us a new pair each. And we picked the dearest ones we could see. I'm joking. It was great. But you know, it was good of the brother who got his new shoes. I mean, listen. It was powerful, really. And when you hear this, I know some of these things are funny, but they're really powerful. Now, John knows Brother Ernie. He is a character. I couldn't tell you some of the things he said live on air. Not bad, but they're so funny. But he is a character. I got some books and want to post them home. Books couldn't get, you know, here. So I go to the post office and push them home. So while we're at the post office, Ernie spots this big black fella. They can't miss him, Garrett. This fella's got the head guards on. He's like a boxer. He is built. Big lump of a fella. With a cross hanging on his neck, and he's a believer. So the next thing Ernie tells us, come in the shop. Have you ever been in, John? Come in, there's a barber shop. He owns a barber shop. He's a signs up on the wall, no profanities in here. It's Christian music playing. It's some sort of new type of rock. Ernie was condemning it, but he says to Ernie, I want you to listen, Ernie. There's a message in it. When you hear the message in it, it's all the gospel, whatever way they're going. Now, maybe not my cup of tea or some of yours, but I'm just telling you how this fella, he gave his testimony at Fire Green Church, this fella. So he's rejoicing, we're saved, he's saved. 12 years he spent in the penitentiary. This big man, killed a man. 12 years. Now he's glad he's out, he's glad he's saved.
Amen.
So we're all talking away. There's me, there's Ernie, there's Brother Andrew. We're in the shop. Next thing this woman comes in. She looks at him and he says, sister, I haven't seen you for 20 years. Gives her a hug and starts talking all the rest of it. Now we look around. And we don't know why, but Ernie's on his knees. And Ernie's on his knees. I think he's trying to tell us some story or something. And he's on his knees. And this wee woman says, wait, is it happening for me? She says, my son needs prayer. She gets on her knees. And she says, let's get on her knees. And the next thing, we're all on our knees. And we'll have a prayer meeting right there and then in the barber shop on our knees. Now, me and Andrew's still in shock. We can't get over this. But pray, this big black fellow prayed a powerful prayer, you know, it was powerful. But all of us prayed a prayer for this woman's son and all the rest of it. Never seen her in her life before. I never come out of the shop. Now, it's not unbelievable, it's strange and unbelievable. But that's the day of morning. He goes to do a job, brother. Says 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, nothing's still done. He just talks to people everywhere he goes with the Lord and things of God. Everywhere he goes. He says to me, brother, you believe I have a minister? I says, absolutely, you're doing it. You're doing it. God needs men like you on the streets. I can witness. I tell people about the Lord. And I says, you're tailor-made for it. You're made for it. And I says, you're doing the ministry God's called you for. And I think that really helped him. He cried, you know. He really cried and rejoiced in the Lord. He was a very humble brother. And I'm telling you, he was good to us. So we did that walk, 5 hours walking, beautiful scenery, lovely place. And Lovely to walk on the mountains, beautiful pretentious, absolutely lethal. You know, Arnie went up there one time with a tent for a month with no food. Now I'm telling you, he said he wanted to hear from God. He took a tent up there years ago with no food for a month. Nothing. And he said, God's going to have to talk to me. Need to hear from God. And then he was thinking to himself what he would eat. He had food, and he was thinking whether he would eat potatoes and some other thing. And after about a week, it was near a week there, no food. And these people come on, I was coming back down from somewhere they were, and they said, here, we stuff we don't need now, but leave it with you. And it was potatoes and all the things he was thinking about. Could you imagine him up there for a week, for a month, with no food? To hear from God. You think William Brown went up them mountains, and they're big mountains. And that's what God spoke to them, God met him, and the wonderful things happened. Now you'll not know about it, but if you're not reading the Matthews, read some of the things, you might mean a thing to you. But if you know what it's about, and hear his testimony and the different things he tells, when God opened the seven seals and placed the sword in his hand right on that mountain to reward. King's sword. I tell you. Now them people don't want to know nothing about that. And then your men say, well, we would have corrected William Branham. Their chokers should be right above their heads. Honestly, I don't know what they're talking about. But then we met up with Brother Steve McNeely as well. He came with family. And it was great to meet Stephen, and he loves it over there. 10 years he's over there now. Wouldn't think it would be 10 years. He's only 31 now. And he said it was great. And he said, you know, when Rock witnessed to him, he said it had to be Rock. Because he says that mondy-pondy type of approach wouldn't have worked for him. It had to be, you know, rough or rugged, you know, approach. And he says that's how God called him. And he said that. And I'm telling you what, everywhere I went, they love him. And the young ones love him. And they said, they love his preaching. And he went somewhere and preached in a youth camp. There's 300 young people and 14 people got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and got saved. 14 people. In one youth camp. So you can have an opinion of someone that can be wrong. And I'm telling you, it's great to see it, isn't it? From a fellow that spent the night lying in a field, drugged out, woke up the next morning, the horse was walking around him, now away there and preaching, isn't it great to see it? Mm-hmm. Only God could do that for me. On the Sunday then, on a Sunday, I gave my testimony in the morning, and five people responded for salvation. It was a tremendous service. Five people. And there was a fella came to me after the meeting. His mother was from Switzerland. She's a lovely spoken woman. She's a woman, I could never guess her age, but she didn't look her age probably. Her son was probably close to my age. Lovely speaking woman, Switzerland, she's from. Her husband lived in one leg. She says, I'd love you to meet my son. This meeting was for him. And her son came in and I met him. And he looked a bit like me, you know, with a beard and stuff, a bit taller than me. And I got to speak to him in private, the Spirit of God really came on. And he said, I wasn't for coming today. But someone spoke to me and said to come. And he said, your whole testimony was just for me. He says, I've been through all these things. Family broke up, marriage broke up, so many different things was going wrong. And I had the chance to pray with them. And I believe God really touched them. Amen. And that's what God was doing in them meetings. And five people responded. And they prayed the sinner's prayer at the end of that service. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? That was the Perry Green's church. Praise God. Then a lot of people came for prayer. Brother Andrew preached a good message in the evening on the two sons. You know the prodigal son?
Yes.
But what about the other one? That was his message. He said, everybody preaches about the prodigal son, but what about the other one? And he preached a message about the other one. And it was a powerful message. And the Lord really blessed the service on the Luke's Gospel, a good meeting, and a few more people raised their hands for salvation and prayer in that service as well. Now, the memory of different people coming in the morning to the evening, so there's different people. was coming in. There's a sister there as well. Her and her husband came to me. She says, I know you, I met you years ago. I didn't know whatever who she was. She goes to Parry Green's church. But she met me somewhere at a meeting, I don't know even where, years ago, and they were going to Parry Green's church. And she was really an amen sister, you know, the amen, and really getting into the worship. She played the one of the instruments as well in the Parry Green's church. And John McCotton's son led the singing. One of John's sons, and he's a real good singer as well. Can't remember his name, because he's a real stout man with dark hair. Nice young fella, he led the singing there in the meeting. So, really good service, and a lot of needs was met, and God really moved in the service there. And then we had a day of rest on Monday, and then we leave Tuesday morning for Philadelphia at 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the day this time. 3.5 hours a flight from Tucson to Chicago, then to Philadelphia. We arrived at the airport late, flights were delayed, so when Brother John McFadden picked us up, it was nearly midnight, and we had to drive down to Sheraton, a hotel near Washington, D.C. So we left the airport, drove to Sheraton, we arrived at the hotel 3:30 a.m. 3:30 a.m, and you need up to your breakfast today. So, that was great. So you arrived in Washington, D.C., and John took us all around Washington, D.C., and it's some place, and they sent some photos down, and they have all the graves there. I don't know many graves, thousands of graves of all the soldiers. And the Americans are paid. The Americans are paid for the history. Everywhere was history, but everywhere was money as well. And you had to go into one place and pay so much, and everywhere you went in, security again, stripped off. Real high security all over America. Trump has stopped down on the security big time. And it's big security everywhere. But we got to see the different place, George Washington, all them different things. And it's just too much. I couldn't take it all in, honestly. And the fellas that took us around, I don't know how they remember. The war 17 something and a war and 18 something and a war and this and the war and that. I couldn't take it all in. I just could not take it all in. It was too much for me. All the whole history of Ireland. There was like an English thing went to America, and then all the things like in England, all the rest of it, into all that. And if you're into history and all them things, it was great. But I wasn't really too much bothered about the history, but I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed getting out. We went to see the Bible Museum, it was great. And there's a slave's Bible. Anybody ever hear of a slave's Bible? No. Well, the slave's Bible, you want to read the slave's Bible. Every scripture in it, obey your master. And be a good servant. And all the other ones, they were taken out. That have made you a free man, delivered you and all that, they were out of it. So you have the Bible. And that was the slave's Bible, and it's true. They gave that Bible to the slaves. So the slaves thought this is the Bible. But all the key verses where you're a free man, it was taken out. There's more verses out than was in. It's all in the museum. It's there. It's proven. It's a fact. It's history. And then it was all about the deliverance, you know, for Martin Luther King got up and spoke and all the rest of it. There's bloodshed and everything. You know all that. The history where Lincoln wanted the slavery abolished. That's all in the museum. There's 7 different levels just in the museum. The Hebrew Bible's in it. All the different Bibles. You want to see the Bibles, the Tyndale, all the Bibles. And the King James really came to Tyndale, isn't that right? But all the different Bibles are in the museum. And all the history of it and all. And we really like that. It's a brilliant place to go. And it was tremendous. And then they did animations of different things and all. It was really tremendous how they did it all. We spent the whole day in there, really. There's not much stuff. And it was great. It was really great. Then Wednesday night came around, and we drove down to a place called Sheraton Hotel near Washington, D.C. And it was a hotel. And on Wednesday night, you hear a brother called Pastor Mike Walsh Jr. Pastor Mike Walsh Jr. has quite a big church down there. Barry Caulfrey contacted John McFadden. He knew Mike Wells, and he said, Mike Wells, I love Brother Tom to preach for him. But because of Wednesday night, there's only one service. Then we had to go on down to the next meeting. So I preached on the Wednesday night, and the mostly African people, and I want to tell you, we had a meeting. I'm telling you, we had a service. And the Lord really moved that meeting. The power of God came in the meeting in a powerful way. It was such a tremendous night. To preach that message two ways. Because your way and God's way. And God's way is the right way, our way is the wrong way. And John McFadden came to me afterwards. John said to me, God really spoke to him. And that meeting, God really spoke to him. And there's a lot of people God touched in that service. It was tremendous anointing. But six people responded for salvation in that meeting. Six people. They prayed the sinner's prayer, and then after the service, so many people were coming still for prayer. Young people were coming wanting prayer and everything, even after the service. And about six there responded to pray the sinner's prayer in that service. And there's over 100 people, that was a midweek. And the pastor said on Sunday there's twice as many. But of course it's a midweek, it's not as many. And he called that brother Mike Wells Jr. He's a really lovely brother. Good seasoned man, you know, a lovely brother. Then we left for Washington and for the joint meetings. And John McFadden's meetings was joint meetings with a brother called Yvon Carey. And here, brother John. Yeah. Yvon Carey, he's near looks a bit like me, and I mean, you know, baldy head. Wasn't as good looking as me, but anyhow. Yvon Carey, and you call him. And his people are Spanish speaking. And they came to John's meetings, and John lives in Philadelphia, but the church is outside of it. Outside of Philadelphia a bit. And the meetings were starting. It's called Living Word Christian Fellowship. The pastor, Brother John McFadden. And then the visiting church joined in, Yvon Carey, the pastor there. And he's from New York. New York. And he's a big church in New York. And he said, brothers, we want us to actually stay on and come down there. But we thought, 3 weeks away, we'll need to go home. And he says, don't be put off with New York because of Joseph Coleman. We don't believe that rubbish. Come down to New York where the preacher, you know, the Word of God. And there's a lot of people put off going to New York because of Joseph Coleman and the things that happened. They don't even need to go in there. But he was a lovely brother, and the people were Spanish speaking, and the young people, loads of young people, they want to see them. Loads of young people. Young men, young women, well dressed. The young girls with long hair and well dressed, and you want to hear them singing. Boy, they could sing. And the violin and the elbow, what's that other big one?
Cellos,
trumpets, every instrument they had. And there they were, they joined with John McFadden's meeting, and John's church was full. And John's a good wee church, and it was a side wing, and the whole lot was filled up. And every day more people came. Started probably with about 150. And then it reached away over the 200, at least 250 by the last day. The last day there was more than the first day. And every day more people came, and different people sang and different things. And it was a joint meeting with John's fellowship and this man, Yvon Carey's fellowship. So we had Spanish interpreters. So we would preach, it was interpreted into Spanish. Glorias a Dios. Glory to God. Amen. It's quiet over here this morning. Praise God. I'm almost going to have to finish. The time's gone away, isn't it? You enjoy the report, you mean? People can see it. But let me just tell you what happened in these meetings. The meeting started Living Word Christian Fellowship, Pastor John McFadden, Yvon Carey, and the attendants. Brother Andrew gave his testimony and preached really good service. And God really blessed. At least five people came to the Lord and could see him. And Andrew had some testimony. He had some testimony. It's two different things that happened. Once when he was really young, and then something happened again after that. And he believed it was God's dealing with him to get him to preach the gospel. And he lost his kidney, he lost his spleen, and so many different things. And it's only God's grace on his living. I'm telling you, he was near death. 17 times it restored his heart. He literally seen the devil spotting and punching him. And he vowed to God that he would raise him up and preach the gospel, and he does it. He does it. God honors it. But five people could see it. It was tremendous. And many others responded for other means of healing and restoration, and to God be all the glory. I preached in the morning, Saturday morning, on the promise of the faith. And the Lord really blessed many people, by 200 at least there, at the end of the service, some decisions for salvation and some for healing. And God moved in there. It seemed to be in every service. Didn't matter who was preaching, people could see it. Made no difference who was preaching. God got all the glory. Amen. Brother Andrew preached again that night, that Saturday night again. The church hall was full. Really blessed again. And about 24 people responded for salvation again. So I'd say there was at least 20 responded for salvation over this that weekend of meetings. What we know of. It's hard to know. You don't know the people, but you have to make the decision. Now, we didn't make no altar calls. People was praying for where they were and everything like that, and the Lord really moved. A lot of people for healing, and we noticed here in every service, people came to the Lord. Every single service, people were getting saved. Every meeting. And then the music was great. The visiting groups, the music was really great. And then on Sunday morning, John wanted me to give a testimony. I thought I should give a testimony. And I give a testimony, and I am telling you now, the power of God fell. That's all I can tell you. God really, you can go on the site and find it if you want, and you'll see yourself. God really moved in a powerful
way.
And I called for people to come and help the church come to the front of the church. There was people weeping. Weeping in the seats while I gave my testimony. And it took me over 2 hours to give it, and I thought it was 5 minutes. We started the service at 10 o'clock, and we weren't giving out that at 2 o'clock. So many people came for prayer and healing and deliverance. And God touched people, a lot of people.
Amen.
God really delivered people. And young people that were fiddling about with things of the world, God really spoke to them. And there was many people responded for salvation in that service. And it was really, really a full service. And there's a brother there from India, Brother Boas from India. And him and his father and his brother look after a leper colony. They look after an orphanage and they look after a church. Brother Brian Freeburn knows him. Brother John knows him. And they say he's a really good brother. He wants us to come to India. He said if you come to India, there'll be 7,000 in the meetings in India. And he believed God sent him that he could meet with us to give us invite to come to India. So I want you to pray about it. I don't know what will happen if you pray about it. It was a tremendous meeting, really blessed. A lot of people got saved and renewed and healed and strengthened. And Brother Andrew preached again in the evening. It was a tremendous meeting again in the evening, every service. And we preached three services each year at John McFadden's, and the Lord really moved. So I don't know, counting-wise, I don't know how many decisions there was over the whole trip. There was, if you count Adelaide, you count the midweek service, you count John McFadden's meetings, I'm sure at least 30 decisions for salvation. So to God be all the glory.
Amen.
Now, if there's only one of them goes on, it's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth all the journey and worth all the travel and home. Well, let's stand our feet. Praise God. Now, I'm telling you, I didn't want to give my testimony. The Spirit of God spoke in our meetings. And the Spirit of God said, give your testimony to God and move, and it's happened. The Spirit of God said to travel around the world. Stop it. 4 times I've been in Australia now. Went the first time with Brother John, went the second time with my dad, went the third time with myself, and went this time with Brother Andrew. I've always known to go back to America, and America 91. And the Lord's granted it. And you know, my only focus and vision is that people get saved. And I'm telling you, God is in the business of saving souls.
Amen.
And where God's people will gather together in unity, their God commands a blessing.
All right.
God wants unity, not splitting. Unity. He wants unity. And I'm telling you, it's terrible when you go places and they're all split up everywhere. And the devil's... And you know what the Bible says? The sheep having no shepherd.
Right.
But God wants good shepherds. The sheep fed. What do you feed them on? Word of God.
Amen.
Praise God. That's for our heads this morning. Praise God. While our heads bowed, every eye closed this meeting. If you need a touch from God, or you're going to raise your hand to the Lord. And I'll pray and remember as we pray this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God is good. God bless you, brother. God is good. God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Praise God. Isn't the Lord good?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we know your ear is open to our cry. We know, Lord, that you promised that if we preach the gospel, Signs and wonders will follow the preaching of your word. Lord, it's your word. It's your gospel. It's an everlasting gospel. Lord, we know that there's power in the gospel. For your word said it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Father, I thank you for the souls of the saved and the backsliders restored, the people healed and touched by the power of God. Now, Lord, I pray here this morning for the hands that read. Ask for the Spirit of Almighty God that you touch that brother, touch that sister, touch that boy, touch that girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, give them the heart's desire, meet their need. Jesus Christ is name. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for everything you've done and for what you're going to do. Thank you for your leadership, the Holy Spirit, for the guidance, and we know the angel of the Lord in Tampa, round about them that fear the Lord. Lord, your angel is near this morning, and we give you the praise. Lord, I pray you bless the brothers that preached here, the song leader, the deacons, the elders, each and every brother and sister, every boy and every girl in this meeting house. Bless them. Make their every need undertake for them. And everyone that has a vision to do something for you, may you bless them, may you strengthen them, may you lead them and guide them. And may you receive all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Father, bless us now as we commit ourselves to thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And our brother comes. God bless you.
Where would he go? Well, there's no greater need for evangelism than the Bible.